Karsten, first I would like to thank you for time and for this interview, which will hopefully represent a bit of the Oberhausen Film Festival, which is one of the biggest and most prominent short film festivals in the world. So can you maybe shortly introduce the festival and what makes Oberhausen Festival different from other big film festivals, short film festivals like Clermont-Ferrand or Uppsala Film Festival?
So what's special about the festival? Actually, we are doing a lot of things like everybody else does. Writing films, inviting directors, making competitions. We have 5 different competitions at the moment. And we're having always, every year we will have a theme program on a particular subject, which is made out of 10 programs. We will have retrospectives. All this is not so special because nowadays a lot of festivals are doing more or less the same. I think what's special about Oberhausen is that so many directors want to be part of the festival. So when we do this open call for competitions, we receive at the moment 5,500 films, more almost 6,000 films from all over the world. So this is really special because I don't know any festival who has this high amount of film entries. Mm-hmm. And one thing in Oberhausen is very special, and it's openness. It's we are looking for all kinds of short films. So it can be feature, documentary, it can be animation. We have a strong interest in experimental films, it can be music video. And this sometimes is different because a lot of festivals, they are specialized in documentary, or they are like in Clermont. I mean, they have sections which are quite open, but the main competition is mostly narrative films. Mm-hmm. So another reason, of course, is that the festival is really, really old, because it's now 60 years, and it's supposed to be the oldest festival which is, still alive, you have to say. There had been festivals before Oberhausen, short film festivals, but they kind of stopped someday. Mm-hmm. And another festival here in the region, they had to make a break of almost 10 years, Belgrade, which is older than Oberhausen. But at the moment, we are on top with these 60 editions, so this is another thing that you might call special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said like you get like 6,000 films, so how many selectors actually then decide to
It depends, because we have 5 different competitions: international, German, we have a regional competition, we have a competition for children and youth film, and we have now for 15 years, we have a competition for German music videos. And all these competitions, they have different group of selecting people. So mm-hmm. In the international competition, it's 8 people. In the German, we have 6 people. Some of those are at the same time in the group for the international films. Others are just member of one group. And we get together in the middle of January, actually, to start mm-hmm. watching the films. And then there will be a break because all these people will have to go to festivals like Rotterdam and Berlin, and they return. And then they watch the rest of the films and do their choice.
Mm-hmm. You also mentioned yesterday about this special award.
Yeah, this is something from the past which I really like. It's it's very simple. The festival from the very beginning, they had the juries and they watch the films and they make their decisions about prizes. And after some time, the selection people in Oberhausen, they got a little bit disappointed about the decision. They felt that, well, this film maybe is not that big. Or another film they felt absolutely neglected. So in the middle of the 60s, they started to invent a new prize called the Prize of the International Short Film Festival of Oberhausen. And this was not given by the jury, but it was given by the selecting members mm-hmm. of the festival. They tried to do a little correction of the jury's work and to say, well, we feel that there's a particular film which should have a prize, so we will give it instead of you. And this started in the middle of the 60s, and we're still doing it today. And it's something to think about for the people, because we all have the tendency at every festival in the world to take these decisions for granted. Mm-hmm. You know, you read about a festival and you say this film received the big prize of the festival. And so everybody says, well, this must have been the best film. Mm-hmm. But you always have to consider that maybe it's not the best film, it's just the best film in the opinion of this particular jury of that year. So if you had another jury, maybe they would have made another choice. This might remind us that all these decisions, even the decision of the festival to choose a film or not, is not an objective truth. It's just an opinion of a certain kind of people who got together in a in a special moment. And this is what I really like about this prize.
Mm-hmm. You're actually a director of Film Archive in Oberhausen. So was this archive established together with the festival, or is just in the totally independent institution?
It's absolutely dependent of the festival. It was actually founded in the very, very first years of the festival. You have to think about the one fact that when the festival was founded, in the very first edition, it wasn't really a festival like we know festivals. It was like a gathering of people, and the festival director, he had chosen some films which he has invited to be shown in Oberhausen, and the audience was almost made up of teachers, people who teach children or adults. And the idea actually of the director was that he wanted to convince the teachers to work with these films in school or in adult education. And so if you want to work with films, you have to acquire them, because after the screening in Oberhausen, usually the films are sent back. And so they started acquiring films, and I said, well, let's keep this one and let's keep this one here, and so that we can work with these films even though the director has returned back home and everything. Mm. And so they started an archive. Actually, in the very first moment, they didn't realize that they would have an archive. They were just thinking that they have working material. And after 20 years, when they realized that film doesn't get better if you project it every day, they realized that they have an archive and that they have to keep an eye on the print. And they realized that in particular cases, the film was already lost in the country where it did come from. And so really, really later they felt, oh, it's an archive. We are not just working with this film, but we have to keep the prints, we have to look at them, and then actually it became an archive. But this idea of showing films at a festival, acquiring prints, and then try to make more projections, well, it was invented in 1956, so 2 years after the after the first edition, and the archive has grown since then. We have now 2,500 titles, 3,000 copies actually. So we're happy because we have the possibility to travel with these prints and show them. But at the same time, it's an obligation that we also have to look that the print, that it will be in a good condition. Well, this is archive work, actually, and this is what we have to do as well.
Mm-hmm. But do you acquire also prints that were not shown on the festival, or just...
Well, actually, no. It has to be shown at the festival, but it doesn't matter when it has been shown. So usually we acquire the prints in the very first year that it has been shown in Oberhausen, but sometimes 20 years later we feel that when we're doing retrospective of a special director and we are showing a film 20 years later after it has been made, so in this very moment we could achieve it as well, and this is what we sometimes do. But usually we look at the brand new films from the competitions and acquire them, and we do acquire every year 45, more or less 45 films.
Do you also do some kind of distribution, like that you digitalize the films and then you make a collection of something, like around some theme collections, or is just a film stock and you prepare a program and then you travel with it?
Well, it depends. Well, the old films in the archive, they are of course 35 millimeter or 60 millimeters, but more or less in the end of the 80s everything changed, because video was a new format, and video was something which had been shown as video in the competitions. So we started acquiring video as well, and and inside the video things changed. So the first video format was U-matic, then there was a better tape, and then there was mini DV and all DVD and all these things, and this is what we also acquire for the archive and for distribution. When we're having problems with old prints, because old prints sometimes lose their colors after 30 years or 40 years, something which might happen, or there are things like the so-called vinegar syndrome, and we are about to lose a print because of the technical status, and we can raise some money, we will always try to replace this print. And the first choice is always to replace it with another print, so that we will have the same format. But this is not always possible for various reasons, because maybe 50 years later it's not possible to contact anybody who was involved in the film. No director, no production company. In those cases we keep asking archives if they do have material or if they do have information how we can make this. And so in these rare cases, we just in order to keep the film alive, we have made digital prints from this old film. Technique is something wonderful sometimes. There are machines who can bring back the colors from a film print so that it will be alive on a digital version. But it's not the same film, because now it's a digital version. But we do this sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But you don't do like Criterion Collection that makes, I don't know, Kurosawa, all the works together, put in DVD, Blu-ray, that you would do some theme like Yugoslavian political
this,
film.
This
and
would be
publish.
Really nice. And 5-6 years ago, we were thinking about doing this. Mm-hmm. But in this case, we just cannot work with the films which we have, because this is a transfer to something completely new. So we can only do this with new licenses. So we have to have the production company has to say, yes, it's okay to do it, and yes, we want to participate from everything that you sell from a DVD. So actually, we tried to do this 5 years ago, and of course we wanted to do something with the films from this region, but it turned out to be absolutely impossible. The biggest problem in that case was that it was not possible for us, and not even for the directors, to grab their own material from the film archives. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we didn't know where it is, and sometimes we knew it's stored in this particular archive, but this archive won't give the material to us. So we stopped this and never made a DVD like this. We have made compilation DVDs with the German music videos in cooperation with the Goethe Institute, like a best-of selection of what have been shown in the competition there. And the good thing is that this DVD is now stored in every Goethe Institute all over the world, and they have the right to work with it. Mm-hmm. And so they will feature us a little bit, but we don't participate by getting any money or anything.
Yesterday before the screening, you mentioned animated film used to be very political. And the Oberhausen was also kind of screening always political films. And this is really interesting, because many festivals nowadays, they don't like to screen political films. They want to distance from that. Why this decision to screen political films, and how do you decide which political film is okay to watch or which is rather not to be shown? Yeah,
You are implying that there might be a little censorship by the festival. Let's really start at the beginning. If we start with the founder of the festival, Hilmar Hoffmann, he was really, in the first place, he was interested in how do people live in other parts of the world. What are their hopes? What are they dreaming for? What are the problems of their life? What's happening in their country? So whenever he and the people who chose the films with him had the feeling that a film will tell something from a very personal point of view, and this in an interesting way, in an aesthetic which is new or maybe different from what we know. So he would have chosen the film. So I think this is what they did in those years, and this is what we do right now. It's actually, we are not that interested in does a director will have this opinion towards something, or will he have another opinion. That's not what really interesting. What's interesting us, we are interested in what kind of question does he raise, and kind of material does he present, and can he prove what he wants to say? So things like that. And so political does not mean to have a certain position, like we are left and we are just shown things which we believe ourselves. So no, actually it's more about getting to know points of view from different countries, and then have to have the possibility to talk about them, to talk about it at the festival.
Mm-hmm. So I would like to take a closer view also to the program that you have made for Kinoteka and for Kino Otok.
Maybe you have to start at the beginning, which is just one way beyond us, when Yuri Bedin from Kinoteka was in Oberhausen, and he offered me the possibility to make four or five programs, and he said it had to be from the archive, and you can choose whatever you want. But he just said one interesting sentence, which was, I want to have the best of the best. So this was the starting point, actually. And then I thought, so what might be the best of the best? I know that he's especially interested in older films, and the years, the 60s and the 70s, had been the really interesting and fantastic times of film. It's the era when everything changed, and when film changed massively, and it did all over the world. So I said that I would like to have at least one program which will focus a little bit this region here, because this Yugoslavia had always been very successful and important in the Oberhausen Festival. So like a kind of homage, I was thinking that one program should contain some of these works, just to remember that cooperation between the filmmakers here and the festival had always been very strong. But at the same time, I mean, this is very well known that the Oberhausen Festival always featured a lot of films from Eastern Europe at the festival. But in this moment, I felt it's not so well known that this work that the festival did was actually, it was the same in other parts of the world. So Latin America, when they had their new wave, was massively featured at the festival as well. And for some time they got away with all the prizes, so I thought maybe the people didn't know this, so I would like to have at least one program with films from this time. Another program was about animation. We have spoken about that already, so with the Latin American films, you will always, well, the United States are always the bad factor in these films, because these films are often showing in different ways U.S. imperialism in these countries. So I felt that it would be nice to have one program with really, really fantastic work just coming from the States, because the United States nevertheless had a lot of very interesting directors. And so this will be the program which we will see tonight. So just to not to blame this country too much, because always two sides of the medal. The very last program today, this is just when I made the choices which films to show and how to put them into programs. I had, at a specific point, I had four programs, but I still had some films that I want to show. And I didn't get any motto or anything to put them together, so I said that this program is about nothing special. It's just good films, and it's about to make sense in a way that everybody has to find out for himself and mm-hmm. herself. So this is what I did. And actually, I went into the archive and watched and took some prints and watched them to remember if it still has the quality to be shown here. And so this is what I did last summer. Then whenever I had the time, I grabbed a few prints and watched them and said, oh no, this film, mm-hmm. I was thinking that it's good, but I don't like it that much. So, and then one thing leads to another, and in the end you have a program, and then I've sent it to Yuri, and he said it's fantastic, and I said, well, but there are little problems to solve, because for this print we don't have the right to screen it, so we first have to check if we might screen it. And so I went on with this work, and then we found out that there are three prints for which we would receive the permission to screen it, but we would have to pay a really high amount of money. So I said, no, we have to drop them, because this is far beyond realism, what people expect in this moment. And so made a little changes, and this is how it came about.
Mm-hmm. Last but not least, I would like to talk a bit about short film as a form, because it looks like that short film is always in the shadow of feature films, and it's also treated like it's something less, and this is not quality measurement but quantity that implies quality. Also the audience, mostly the festival audience, is the only audience that can see short films, because they are not screened on TV or rarely, and also you don't see them in cinemas anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you see this problematic, if it is? And maybe also I heard that that was a law in Germany in 70s, that before every feature film that should be screened a short film. So the production of short films was really massive for that purpose. So if this still happening?
No, this has been gone a long, long time ago, actually. This was when I was young. This was a common double feature. You went to the cinema because you wanted to see a specific feature film, and it had a short film before, which you never came because of the short film, you came because of the feature film. But you had this short film in front of the feature film, and, well, to be quite honest, in Germany, at least in those times, the short films were quite different. They were not works of art or really interesting documentaries. They were more educational films. You learned a lot about some strange animals, and was a little bit like in school. And people really didn't like this, because often there was no connection between feature film and short film. And so I'm not a big fan of this, to be quite honest. The only good thing is, or had been in this time, like everywhere in the world, that at least the director of short films would participate from the system by getting paid, because there was a need to have short films, because they had to be shown in the cinema. So the directors could live from that, or could live a little bit better from that. But actually, as a way of presenting, I'm not a real fan of this. And you are quite correct. Nowadays, we don't have short film in the cinemas anymore, at least before a feature film. We don't have it in television. I don't know why, because it's absolutely perfect. Mm. Television would be the perfect medium for short films. But it's not happening, because the people in television don't want it or don't know about it, I don't know. So short film has become a phenomenon of festivals. And a festival is a real good place for short film, I believe, because it's taken seriously, it's been selected by people, hopefully, who are some kind of experts and have some knowledge about what has been done in the past, and is that what somebody has sent, is it somehow new or interesting? So this is nice, and this is why we have a lot of festivals in Germany. At the moment, it's 60, 70 short film festivals just in my country. Some are very small, and some are just showing films from the region, and the perspective is quite different in every case, but it's a good place for short film. But the directors, they cannot live from this, because they produce films, and for festivals, when shown in competition, they don't receive any money, because everybody's hoping that they will receive a prize and then they will receive some money, but it's not paid for each screening. So these people have to find other ways where they can get the money which they need. So, yeah, I guess it's the same in other countries, except for France, which has still a strong tradition for what short film is, and that it's been regularly shown in the cinemas. And but we don't have it, and I guess a lot of countries don't have it. And so it's up to the directors. They have to choose what to do. And some have made decisions. They have moved to the art scene, which is good for them because the art scene often offers them money in advance to produce a short film, which is not happening in the film world. And we as a festival, we are trying to grab these people so that we are not preventing them from being part of the art scene, but we would like them to at least show their works as well at short film festivals.
Yeah, but it's interesting also that on the other hand, music video and maybe some commercials could be described as a short film is also one way of getting money for these directors.
Yeah, but it's difficult, it's you difficult. Know. If you choose to be a director of short films, I just know a couple of people who really can live from that. And everybody has to find different ways to receive the money. It's but it's not preventing the people from doing short film.
Yeah. Karsten, thank you very much
You're welcome.
All the information.
Thank you, Arjen.